Welcome back to the Doctors of the Moon podcast. We're grateful that you can join us for another week.
We certainly are.
And today we're very lucky. We have Michael A. Bryan with us. He is an astrologer, clinical hypnotherapist, and broadcast journalist from Nassau, Bahamas. He studied astrology, divination, and the Western esoteric tradition since 2005. He's the founder of Oraculus School of Astrology. He hears interviews and lectures about astrology and mysticism. So welcome, Michael. We're happy to have you.
Thank you so much. I'm really happy to be here.
And did I pronounce that right? I probably butchered it.
Oraculos.
Oraculos. Okay. Welcome. Can you tell us a little bit about your journey and what's brought you here?
Awesome. Thank you so much. So first of all, I came into astrology and mysticism and tarot and the runes at a very young age. I was a child, and I was in love with all things magical. And I think that in the late 90s, early 2000s, there was this movement on television, especially television and as well as children's literature in terms of mysticism and magic. And around that time, J.K. Rowling was also coming out with the Harry Potter novels. And so there was just a lot of emphasis on magic in the media and magic on TV and just magic all around. And I was very captivated by that. And I wanted to find a way how to create a real world experience of that within my life, because I was still young enough to feel as if I would eventually get a Hogwarts letter to be swept off to some school of witchcraft and wizardry someplace. But I was still old enough to realize that that probably wasn't going to be the case. And if there was a magical world for me to be a part of, I'd have to seek that out for myself. And I started seeking. I started with the tarot. I think the tarot was for me a very real first touchstone of all things magical or even things astrological. And I had the very good fortune of landing into a world of tarot that was based on the work of the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn, which was an early 20th century organization that focused on magic and mysticism within the West. And a lot of their original teachings were also based on traditional astrology. So I sometimes tell people that my life or my... So I was saying that I often tell people that my entry to astrology was always through traditional astrology. And it's not that I even knew any of the quote unquote traditional astrology authors who we talk about today, but it's because so much of my tarot work was rooted in classical astrology that for me, that was my first introduction to astrology. And then from there, I learned more. I bought more books. I gave a lot of readings when I was younger. I made a lot of mistakes because I started giving readings probably at around the age of 13. So I made humongous mistakes, but those mistakes were my greatest learning tools. And I'm very grateful that I came into it at that young age, because by the time as I was 16, I already refined my practice considerably. By the time as I was 18, I was giving world-class readings. By the time as I was 20, I was established in my practice. So in my early 20s, I knew I wanted to teach. And that's how come I created the Oraculus School of Astrology, because I knew that I was in a position where I had enough of something to be able to share that with my students. And I've been doing that ever since.
Beautiful. That's awesome. That's wonderful. So did you come from a family that was into astrology and tarot and things like that?
It's interesting because my family is not into any of those things. And I think in the Caribbean, where I'm from, I'm a Bahamian Jamaican, and I went to school in Cuba. So I have this trifecta of Caribbean culture around me. And Cuba is a very heavily magical place in terms of magical traditions and indigenous spirituality. And the Bahamas, we also have an indigenous magical tradition. And Jamaica also has an indigenous magical tradition. But a lot of that, because the Caribbean was heavily colonized, a lot of that is still under the guise of Christianity. So it's Christian on the surface, but it's very deep, old magic underneath. And so I grew up within that sort of environment. And at the same time, I also grew up in a very Christian household. But my mother, if I'm thinking back on this whole strain of magic within my own life, my mother was in her first year of university. And for some reason, she chose to do her research paper on Vodun, which is, people call it voodoo, but on Haitian voodoo and in the Afro-Caribbean diaspora. And so I distinctly remember there was months of my childhood when she was poring over all of these books on Haitian voodoo and where that came from out of Africa and how that got to the Caribbean. And I just absorbed all of this information. And even though that was never a practice of mine specifically, I was still just deeply fascinated by this rich culture of magic that we have at our disposal. So, I mean, that was kind of a tiny bleep within the larger continuum of my childhood. But I mean, my mother was always interested in astrology. We always had the Taurus astrology book and the Aries astrology book, because I was a Taurus, she was an Aries. And we always had the Taurus teacup and the Aries teacup. So I think in this very pop cultural way, astrology was in my environment. And my mother was very much always looking at the newspapers, always looking at the horoscope, which now at the place where I am within my practice, I realized that was kind of, you know, child's play. But that's still, those initial seeds were still present within my environment. And my family never released it in the way of any of the things I wanted to pursue magically. And that is and that isn't true, because it was still a very Christian environment and I still had to conform to the things going on within that. But I think they always knew the things that I was doing by myself in the dark when nobody was looking. And I think for the most part, my family gave me a lot of latitude to continue exploring those parts of myself. Even if they thought it was a phase, they still gave me enough space to explore psychic development and astrology and tarot and divination and all of these other things that I was doing as a child.
That's neat. It's neat that you kind of have those memories of her doing those different things to kind of show that even though she was kind of in her constraints of her Christianity, that she was still kind of open to the world of magic and mysticism. And I think that's really neat.
Yeah, it helps you to really, it opens you up. So it does. It really does.
I saw on your site that you do medical astrology and Renaissance and Uranian astrology. What's the difference between those?
Yeah, so medical astrology is an extension of traditional natal astrology, because traditionally speaking, we would never give a reading to a person without first talking about their medical constitution from an astrological perspective. So today in the 21st century, we tend to compartmentalize the various parts of astrology. And so today you could get a certificate in medical astrology versus relationship astrology versus family astrology. But in the 17th century, all of those systems were just regular astrology. That was just how you gave somebody a chart reading. You would always talk about their psychology and their psychological constitution, but you'd also talk about their physical constitution, and you talk about their money and their parents and all of these things. That was just a regular astrology reading. So I talk about doing medical astrology on the website, but really what I mean is I just do regular traditional astrology, which includes medical astrology as well. So that's the medical astrology side of it. And then the other piece is the Uranian astrology. That is the only type of modern astrology I practice. Uranian astrology was established in Hamburg, Germany in the early 1900s. And it's a radically new approach to astrology. We're not talking about houses or signs of the zodiac or anything like that. We're just talking about the planets and the conversations planets are having with each other. And so that's the other type of astrology that I practice as well. And so I think that's the medical and that's the Uranian. And then I think you also asked about the traditional astrology. That's just regular schmegular astrology, which includes all of those other things in it as well, except for the Uranian. The Uranian is distinctly modern, but as far as traditional astrology is concerned, traditional astrology includes medical astrology and horary astrology, which is casting a chart for when somebody asks a question. It includes all of those traditional pieces of astrology.
And so besides starting the school and the teaching and things like that, you started a podcast, you wrote a book. What inspired you to teach and to do the podcast and to write a book?
Yeah. So the podcast came up because I remember it was 2018. It was December 2018. That was the first episode of the podcast and must have been probably December 21st, 2018. And I had gone to the United United Astrology Conference in Chicago earlier that May. So May 2018 was my first real exposure to the wider astrology world, because up until that point, I was a lone wolf. I was doing things by myself. I had my own practice. I was the astrologer of the Caribbean, but I wasn't really known in America at all. And so I went to UAC, the United Astrology Conference, and I saw all of these voices and met and learned from all of these people and made all of these connections. And I realized that within all of that, I still had something within my approach to things that I didn't really see represented at that conference. And so I figured the best way for me to do it is to start a YouTube channel, for me to start a podcast where I can share with people all of the things that I've gained after, at that point, I must have been in professional practice probably 12 years. So I wanted to share with people some of my insights, because even though at the conference, I heard other people dancing around some of the things that I had really discovered and established, I didn't really hear people putting their finger on it and saying, this is how this thing works. So I wanted to create a podcast that could honor, initially it was to honor my voice. And then for a moment, I started to bring in a lot of other people, which was fine. I did that for a couple of years where I would interview other people and have them on as well. But then someone said to me, Michael, you have such a distinct voice in this community and no one is really saying the things you're saying. You should really focus on creating more of your own content where you speak and where you teach people from your perspective, because nobody else has that perspective right now. And so I made that shift in about 2021 or something. And for the last few years, I've just been coming out with my own content, with my own everything, with my own voice. And I feel very, very happy about that.
That's good. It's nice when you know that you need to make those changes and adopt them. So I can really appreciate that. And I can appreciate, because podcasting is a full-time job. Well, it is and it isn't, but you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of work. And I think it's good to get that information out and for people to be able to learn from you. Because yeah, you have a very nice way of saying things that draw people in. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, you betcha.
And so then you wrote a book. Can you tell us about your book?
Yes, I wrote a book. I think I have it on the side of me. So I wrote this book called Mastering Traditional Astrology, A Depth of Beginning in the Celestial Art. And it's so strange how things happen, because I feel like I always knew that I would write a book, but I never knew that it would be this book. And I never knew the impact the book would have on the larger community. And I just knew that I wanted to write a book that held within it everything that I taught my students within their first semester of studying with me. And so I had been teaching at that point for years. I think I was teaching online for about probably 4 or 5 years at that point. And I wanted to create a book for my students. And so every major development I've ever made as an astrologer or as anything at all has always been because I've had a humongous student population behind me who I felt I owed something to. So at that point, I was teaching astrology for years, but my students didn't have a textbook. I would send them to all sorts of other books from other people from the 17th century, the 16th century, the 13th century, but I didn't have one book to point them to that held all of that information. So last year, I said to myself, hey, Michael, you need to get this book done. It needs to be finished and you need to do this because you have all of the notes, but you need to compile it. And then I spoke with Chris Brennan from the Astrology Podcast, and he said that when he was publishing his book, he published it specifically in time for NORWAC, which is the Northwest Astrological Conference that happens in Seattle every year. And he said, NORWAC is the best place to promote your new book. And so I wanted to catch NORWAC before it passed. And so I made sure that by NORWAC of this year, 2023, the end of May 2023, the book was published. And so that was the major inspiration. It's been doing very, very well online, and people, thousands of people have purchased the book and they love it. it, and they send me their emails and let me know how they feel about it, and it's doing good, which is it was a very scary thing for me because I'm a self-published author. I've never worked with a publishing house before, and the few times I tried to work with publishers, it seemed like a very bad idea, and I just knew it wouldn't be the best thing for me. And I self-published, and I'm so happy I did that. I'm currently working on the next book on horary astrology, and that's going to be out by, I dare say, the end of March 2024.
Oh, wow. Nice.
That's quite the size of that book. You have, must have a lot of information in it. When you held it up, it's like, wow, there must be a lot in that. Like,
yeah, it's 646 pages.
Beautiful. Good for you. Wow. That's a lot of information. We'll have to look that up.
Yeah. Is it basically covering kind of what would be the foundations of astrology and kind of how do you implement them into your life?
Yeah. I mean, it's a book geared for people who want to go into professional practice. And so it is, I say that it's a level zero curriculum, but the reality is that for me and my school, our level zero curriculum is for another person and at another school, an advanced course. So my languaging surrounding what this book contains doesn't really do it justice, because there are some people who go through an entire several year astrology diploma program with somebody else, and they don't even begin to scratch the surface of what's in this book. So for me, it's a beginner's book to astrology, but it teaches you everything you need to know about the why behind astrology. We know we use a 12 sign zodiac, but we don't know why. We know for the most part that we use a four element system in astrology, when we also know that there's a five element system that also that includes spirit as well: fire, air, water, earth, and spirit. So why don't we use a five element system in astrology, but we choose to use a four element system in astrology? We know that we divide everything astrologically into masculine and feminine based on the sun and the moon and all of these other things. We know that we use four aspects in astrology, but why do we? So there are all of these questions that modern astrology doesn't really answer for people. And even a lot of my own traditional astrology colleagues don't answer these questions for their own student population. And I think the one unfair advantage that I've had and that I've always had as an astrologer is that I've come from a strong teaching background already. My mother builds curriculums for teachers as a professional thing that she did when I was growing up. So I was always in an environment seeing curriculums get built. My aunt was a teacher. My grandmother was a teacher. I studied to be a teacher in terms of Iyengar yoga. I studied dance pedagogy when I went to dance school, which is how to teach dance. So there have always been a very real teaching background within my life. Whereas I think other people who write astrology books, they practice astrology, but they don't really have an idea of how to teach it in a logical, sequential way. I've always known how to teach. I could teach anything, basically. And so the book is set up in the same way that I teach, in a very clear, systematic, logical way that fundamentally fills all of the gaps and all of the holes that people have within their minds about all of these why questions regarding astrology and astrological practice.
Sort of like in layman's terms, you made it very simplified. Okay, very nice. Because we were talking about that earlier, because we knew we were going to talk to you, but I did some astrology when the kids were younger and things like that. But back then, trying to pick up a book on astrology, it was like, whoa, what are they mean by this? And whoa, what do they mean by that? And so it was very difficult to really get into it. So it's really nice to hear that you are putting it in a straight out layman's term that people can actually pick it up, get the foundation of it. So, and then they can take it to whatever, you know, extremes they want to do after that, which is basically what you're saying there. That's awesome.
Exactly.
I like it a lot. I'll pick up your book.
And I was just going to say, so it was written in the stars that you'd be a teacher and an author, but that's just my humor.
We get it.
So going into the book, if someone was to purchase the book and kind of try to teach themselves about not only the foundations, because I agree with that you sort of need those foundations, like I feel like that's a good base. Is there something like, would it be beneficial for them to know what their sun sign and rising sign and things like that are?
Not necessarily, because a lot of astrology, you know, in the 17th century and even before the 17th century, before you even started natal astrology, you had to have a foundational understanding of the foundations of all astrology. And for a lot of people in the West, so in Europe and America and all of this stuff, for a lot of people in the West, that idea or that notion that there is a pre-education before actually picking up a birth chart is just lost on them. Because for the last, I dare say, 50 years, astrology hasn't been presented in that way. For the last 50 years, astrology has been presented as, here's your birth chart, and all you need to know is your sun sign, your moon sign, your rising sign, and you're good to go. But one of the consequences of that is that people dive into natal astrology before they're ready, and they dive into natal astrology reading birth charts of people, or attempting to read birth charts of people, when they have very little technical understanding or ability to do so. And so they find themselves facing these dead ends, essentially. And to get beyond those dead ends, they try to rely on their intuition. And then they say, you know, they're intuitive astrologers, but your intuition can provide something that isn't already within you. And so there's a field of pre-education that astrologers have always had up until the beginning of the 20th century that we no longer give our students within the 21st century. And as a result of that, students feel like frauds, or they feel like they've studied astrology for the last 10 years and they still don't know how to read a birth chart, or they feel like they've gone to every conference in the humanity of astrology, but they still don't feel confident enough to pick up a chart and read, because we haven't taken our students through a systematic pre-education in astrology. And for a lot of people, when I say this, some people agree with it, and then other people say, well, I just want to read a birth chart. And that's cute. It's a very cute idea that I just want to read a birth chart. But when we say I want to read a birth chart, we're referring to a chart that is meant to describe the entire unfolding of the destiny of a human being within this lifetime. That's a huge responsibility. And to that responsibility, you can't just show up as Joe Schmo off the side of the road, never having done astrology in your life, and pick up Linda Goodman's love signs and think that you're going to now be able to read a birth chart. And that's been a lot of the franchise of astrology. You could learn astrology in the weekend, but those of us who practice astrology from a professional level, and a lot of my colleagues, I mean, it's not a weekend subject. And so this book, to a very large degree, like I said, I'm creating a series of textbooks for people who want to be professional astrologers. And you're not going to pick up this book and read this book and become a professional astrologer at the end of reading this book. You will know far more than the vast majority of people who call themselves professional astrologers, but this book isn't meant to make you a professional astrologer. This book is meant to give you the pre-education necessary in the philosophy and the planets, and what the planets mean, and what does it mean when we say a planet rules a house, versus what does it mean when we say that planet rules a topic. So for example, Venus within your birth chart is the universal ruler of the topic of love. But also, if you have Venus on, if you have one of the signs of Venus, Libra or Taurus, on your 10th house cusp, Venus then becomes the specific ruler of your career, because the 10th house is the house of career. So how do I distinguish between talking about Venus as the universal ruler of the topic of love versus Venus as the specific ruler of this topic of career within my chart? All of these things, and that nuanced way of parsing these topics apart, is something that we all need to know how to do before we pick up the first birth chart to read. So this book gives people that background baseline, and then the next book gives them a field of experiences within which to now begin to practice. Because horary astrology comes after the foundations, and horary astrology allows you to begin practicing an astrology where you answer questions for people, because people come with questions, you know. So someone could say, will I be rich? Somebody else could say, will I have children? Somebody else could say, should I buy this house? Somebody else, should I use antibiotic treatment, or should I go to a treatment facility as a means of addressing my Lyme's disease? Somebody else could say, should I take this trip? Somebody else could say, should I get this divorce? And astrologers need to know how to answer regular questions first, the real world's daily questions that people come with, because after you know how to answer these real world daily questions that people come with. Then you could answer the larger existential questions that people come with from their birth chart. Who am I? Why am I here? Will I ever be financially successful in this lifetime? Will I ever get married? Those ever questions are the questions that are built into our natal charts. But before we even begin answering those ever questions, we need to be able to answer the transactional divination-based questions. Should I invest my money in this business? Should I buy this puppy? Should I eat this candy? Should I take this vacation? We need to answer those everyday questions before we answer the bigger questions. So the way how I'm building the books is the first thing is the foundations. The second book is going to be how to answer the everyday to-day questions that people come with. And then the third book is going to be now that I am an astrological technician and I know how to answer people's questions, now let me take that into the birth chart so I can answer some of these lifetime questions that people come with as well.
Interesting. That's neat. So then I assume that you would use astrology in your life when you're making any major decisions. Do you use it on a day-to-day basis though, just for everyday sort of things?
Definitely. I think that in general, the easiest example I could think of is that when the moon is void, of course, which means the moon isn't going to make any other aspects while she's in the particular sign that she's in. When the moon is void, of course, I don't usually post things or publish videos or anything that I want to be relatively successful. I wait until the moon has changed signs, or I wait until the moon is no longer void, of course. I wait for the moon to be doing things, because from a traditional perspective, when the moon is void, of course, that means the air is dead. And if I'm doing something I want to be successful, then maybe I don't want it to happen when the air is dead. I want it to happen when there's some astrological influences going back and forth in the air. And so I'll just wait a day or two until the moon is no longer void, of course, in order to post the video or in order to send out the proposal or in order to start the course, just because there are these tiny things that we can do, astrologically speaking, that make a big difference. Another thing that's also moon-based is from an electional astrology perspective, if you cut your hair while the moon is waxing and in a water sign, then your hair is likely to grow back faster. Whereas if you cut your hair while the moon is in a waning fire sign, it is more likely that your hair will grow back in a slower way. So for me, if I wanted to trim my hair, if I wanted to do something, then I'd probably wait until the moon was in a waxing. I'd wait until the moon was waxing in a water sign to do that, because I want my hair to grow back in a more lush and, I don't know, amazing way. So there are these tiny things that we can plug into our lives that are based in astrology that gives us a sense of living harmoniously with the universe, and that also gives us a sense of waiting for the appropriate moment to do things, which is a lesson in patience, but it's also a lesson in aligning our efforts with a much larger cosmic background.
So if someone had a chart, if they got into it and had a chart where there's a lot of obstacles, I'll say, is there things that they can do in their life to either work with astrology to try to create some abundance or manifestation things into their life? Or is it kind of, this is kind of how it is and it sucks to be you?
Well, I think that within our lives, I haven't ever met a person with a perfect chart before. So within our lives, we all have difficult charts. Every one of us have charts that are difficult or complicated or complex in some way. And I think within the course of living life, we learn how to live with those difficulties, and we learn how to transform those difficulties so that we can actually gain the most out of those experiences. And so from that perspective, astrology gives us insight into those problematic areas. It shows us how those problematic areas operate within our lives when we aren't exercising any conscious determination to turn that story around. And that gives us a template to actually say, hey, I don't want to be a victim of this particular tendency of mine anymore. I can actually exert a conscious determination determination towards transforming this part of my life. It might be difficult. You might have gone through the first 30 years of your life establishing that as a pattern of how you relate to money, or how you relate to your family, or how you relate to your physical health, or how you relate to your romantic partners, or how you relate to your career. You may have established a particular momentum after the first 30 years of your life. And now that you have this light, and now that you have this clarity, it might probably take an additional 30 years for you to undo the tethers of that level of habit forming within yourself. However, the point is, we all can exercise conscious effort to change some of the challenges that we find within our lives, especially if we see those challenges showing up within our charts. Now, for things that are more chronic, where we can't necessarily change them because they are rooted within our physical body, so we have a physical predisposition to a particular illness or ailment, and we see that manifesting within our birth chart, or our birth charts are set up for us to have a mother who died early or a father who was absent, we can't necessarily change those things within our lives, but we can use astrology to help us to find a sense of serenity surrounding those things that we can't change. So astrology, to a very large degree, is a complete fulfillment of the serenity prayer, insofar as it gives us the courage to change the things we can. It gives us the acceptance to accept the things that we can't change, and it gives us the wisdom to know the difference. And I think astrology gives that to everybody who practices astrology, but it also gives that to anybody who receives an astrological consultation or who consistently works with an astrologer. It allows you to step into a greater field of serenity and acceptance within your life. And it also gives you the tools to begin undoing some of the tethers of some of the habits that don't actually help you to be a better version of yourself.
Yeah, I like that. Yes, that's good. What's your take on the Saturn return? That's something that I had never heard of that until just recently. And so my understanding of it is sometime when you're between about 28 and 30, there's some big thing in your life where there's a Saturn return. So I guess my question is, like, how does that impact your life? And is there more than one Saturn return, or is that the only one?
Yeah. So the Saturn return happens once every 30 years, because it takes Saturn approximately 30 years to return to the position it inhabited in your birth chart. So if you were born with Saturn at 5 degrees of Aries, it's going to take 30 years for Saturn to go around the sky and come back to 5 degrees of Aries. And so that's called the Saturn return. And that's a part of why these ages, 30 years old, 60 years old, 90 years old, that's why these ages represent crisis points for a lot of people. Because when Saturn comes around our chart once, he demands a certain level of self-awareness, and he demands a certain level of self-consciousness 30 years later that you weren't expected to have 30 years prior. So depending on where Saturn is within your birth chart, if you have Saturn in your second house, then you might find yourself, when you have your Saturn return, going through a major crisis regarding money. If Saturn is in your seventh house and you have your Saturn return, you might find yourself going through a major crisis regarding love or your marriage or your marital partner. And chances are, when you're 60, you're going to have a similar crisis in that area of your life, but it's going to manifest hopefully at a higher level. And chances are, when you're 90 years old, you're going to have a similar crisis within that area of your life. But at the point at which you're 90, one would imagine that you have inculcated, or you have figured out a path towards serenity for yourself, so that should those same crises emerge for you at the age of 90 years old, there is more serenity within you at 90 than there is angst. And you have the ability to settle into it and accept your life as it is, and realize that Saturn isn't just the Grim Reaper, but Saturn is actually a friend, and Saturn is showing you how you've ripened through time, and how you've matured through time, and how you've evolved into a much wiser person at the age of 90 than you were at either 60 or 30. So the Saturn return represents these pivotal areas where we evolve, and we're forced to grow and become a new version of ourselves. And at 30, it's an angst-filled threshold. At 60, there's a lot of angst, but not as angst-filled as 30. And by the time as we hit 90, we're smooth sailing, because we realize that we've done all the work that we will do, and we're now sitting in a place of reaping the rewards of the life that we've established.
Perfect. Well, thank you for explaining that, because yeah, I know that's kind of one of those things that's kind of floating around, or at least it's come into my view a little more. So it's nice for people to hear what that actually means.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
If you had one piece of advice to give to our followers, what would it be?
I would say that if you are interested in astrology, then really make sure that you give yourself the opportunity to study astrology well. And there's a lot of cheap astrology in the world today. There's a lot of pop astrology in the world today. There's a lot of signs of the zodiac based astrology in the world today. And we see that in the newspapers, and we see that when we go online, and it's kind of rampant within our community. But if you really want to be a great astrologer, then give yourself the opportunity to study astrology well. And that could mean studying with someone. That could also mean engaging in self-study and finding books and tools and resources that allow you to become masterful within your field, because astrology is a wonderful field. Astrology has the ability to show us the very astral basis of who we are as people, and it has the ability to show us all of the concrete events that have occurred within our lives that specifically make us who we are today. And you want to give yourself as much of an opportunity as possible to understand that language well, and you don't want to do yourself the disservice by jumping in off the popular end and then still ending up with these large gaps within your understanding. So if you want to study astrology, give yourself the ability to actually commit to a course of study within it. Know that it will take you probably no less than 2 years to really be able to speak the language of astrology well. And know that that time within the course of the larger unfolding of your life is probably just a tiny moment, at the end of which you'll end up with a new language, because astrology is ultimately a language. So you'll end up with a brand new language that you can speak that is just as profound as being able to speak Latin or Greek or German or Russian or Portuguese. It's just as profound, it's just as nuanced, it's just as beautiful at describing life from a new vantage point that you probably don't even have access to right now. So if you're going to study astrology, think about it as learning a new language and give yourself the same sort of time and resources and patience to allow yourself to learn that language without feeling as if you need to be great at it automatically, because you won't be great at it right away. You will be awful at it for months and months and months until you slowly begin to grow proficiency. And that's completely okay, because anything worth learning is worth learning over an extended period of time.
Yeah, learning it well.
Yeah, absolutely. So where can you find your book then?
So my book is available on Amazon at the moment, and that's the primary place where it's available. However, by January of 2024, you'll be able to buy it in bookstores as well. I'm making a few adjustments in the book, primarily adjustments to the index at the back of the book, because the index is kind of unwieldy. And so I want to really make it more user-friendly. So that's the only thing that we're doing at the moment. We're making some massive adjustments to the index, but the content is going to be the same. There is nothing changing in terms of the actual content of it. And so at the moment, while we make those adjustments, you can purchase the book on Amazon. But after January 2024, you'll be able to purchase the book in your local bookstore as well. So stay tuned.
Wonderful. Nice. That's excellent. Well, it's been such a pleasure talking to you, and I have like a wealth of knowledge now in my head.
You bet.
I now need that book. So can you tell everybody where they can find you and where they can find out about any of your events or your upcoming books?
Awesome. So if people want to find out more about me, you can find out more by looking up the Oraculos podcast on YouTube. Or if you want to take a course or get a reading or do anything like that, you can find out more information by visiting my website at www.oraculosastrology.com.
Perfect. Well, we will share all of that in the show notes. And again, it's been such a pleasure having you on the podcast. And thanks for joining us and sharing space with us and giving us all your knowledge.
You betcha. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much as well. Thank you for having me.
Oh, yes, absolutely.